Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. And welcome tonight to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. And tonight, Wayne and I are here, and we thought that we would ask kind of a provocative question this evening, and we'd like you guys to call in and weigh in on this particular issue, because this is one that people bring up to us in the office all the time, and it's simply this: is viewing pornography an affair? We've got a lot of people that have different opinions on that particular thing, and tonight, you as our listening audience, we'd like you to weigh in. Do you think that viewing a pornography, again, is the same thing as having an affair? Is it a form of infidelity? What do you think that actually is? So, Wayne, what do you want to say about our question tonight? Anything in particular?
Well, I'm going to save my answer for later.
You bet. Well, last week, of course, you were talking about how to have an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And
We did 30 reasons or 30 ways to have an affair. That's what Leslie and I did.
I'm sure that was quite popular. I don't know if anybody, you know, called in and offered number 31 or anything like that.
No, we didn't hear any of that.
Okay, good. You know, it's kind of sad because there really are websites, y'all may have talked about this, that actually help promote having affairs.
We didn't mention any of the website names, though, but we...
Okay, I'll try to refrain from mentioning website names
where
tonight.
Where you can or how to do that.
Exactly right. Because, you know, it is definitely a... it's a problem in our culture, for sure.
Yeah, Leslie said that she had Googled this... typed in how to have an affair, and she got 11,000 hits, and most of them were actually how to have an affair, not how to avoid one or not go there, but actually how to have one.
Right. Well, I actually Googled is having an affair what would you call that? Is looking viewing pornography? This today's gonna be a long night, isn't it?
It is.
I can't talk.
You've been on vacation all week.
That's the problem. I've been on vacation the entire week and I can't talk. And I had Googled in, you know, searching for that, and I only got 297,000 hits on.
Oh. Only 297,000. That's all.
Yeah, but and a lot of it, you know, simply, you know, people posting their opinions on whether or not you can do that. And whether that's going to be an affair, and again, people certainly have opinions on that particular thing. And I think that just viewing pornography in and of itself certainly creates certain problems. We'll let the audience determine whether or not it's actually an affair right now. But in my mind, some of the problems it creates are really kind of vexing for marriages. What do you think?
Vexing?
Vexing. Isn't that a great word?
Yeah.
I love that word.
I thought you said Xing for marriage
No.
I guess it could be that too. Yeah, I think for the reasons why you said early on, you know, or maybe you and I were talking about this before the show starts, it's very problematic, typically for marriages. A lot of times based on just the spouses will view it differently.
Yeah, I think the person doing the porn definitely has a tendency to look at it a little bit differently than the one who's not looking at the porn.
Well, sometimes, but there's a difference in their own value system too, right? So mm-hmm. Why is it done in secrecy and hidden? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember Frank Pittman saying once that, you know, if your spouse would want to know, why wouldn't you tell them? Mm. So yeah, I think that's definitely a point. And in my opinion, and obviously I am biased since we're here on a Fair Recovery Radio.
You think?
Yeah, I think I might be biased to one position, at least the position of infidelity, at the very least. I mean, to me, as we've said before, infidelity is the keeping of secrets. And in a marital relationship, if for whatever reason you're keeping a secret, then at that point, I think it certainly says there's something going on that's not good.
Yeah.
So whether or not that's an affair, we're going to find out. You know, one of the problems in terms of just problems, though, on looking at porn, and I think maybe until some people start calling in, probably a good topic for us to begin with. I mean, in my opinion, one of the problems with porn, obviously, is objectification. And I can say personally in my own life, having been addicted to porn for a certain period of my life, that it really rendered me incapable of truly seeing a woman's soul and a woman's heart. It left me basically viewing them for kind of what they could do for me, and caused me, I think, to be amazingly shallow when it came to women. And it even, I think, impacted negatively my ability to appreciate my mate from the perspective that I kind of expected her to be like the airbrushed models that were oftentimes in the pornography, or, you know, I would come across things that certainly she would not be comfortable with. And then I would think something's wrong with her, because obviously all of these women in the pornography, you know, they did that sort of stuff. So what's wrong with my wife? You know, I must have married the wrong person. I mean, my fantasy woman, she was way cool. The one I saw in the pornography all the time, because she wanted to have sex if, where, when, how, why, everything I wanted. She never even had an opinion, hardly, except what I wanted. And in fact, I don't think she ever said anything except, "You're really hot, Rick." And just had to love her. She was great.
And good, too.
And good. And Stephanie, on the other hand, she actually did have opinions and preferences and said things besides "I was good."
Remember, this is a G-rated show.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be good here. But yeah. So anyway, the whole thing of objectification, in my mind, is certainly an issue when it comes to pornography.
Yeah, that's certainly an issue. We see that probably every day, the objectification. And then like what you're saying is it prohibits them from having a truly intimate, fulfilling sexual relationship with their mate. We see that all the time, that they come in with those kinds of issues as well as a result of this.
Do you know what?
What?
I forgot to announce how people could call in, and I've been telling them to call in, but I never announced the telephone number. That's not very good, is it?
Man, this is bad radio.
I know. Ronnie, how could you let me do that, our producers? It's area code 512-365-9930 if you'd like to call
Stephanie
in.
Stephanie, text you or something.
Yeah, something like that. 512-365-9930. We're here at KLGO, and 99.3.
On a late Sunday evening.
On a late Sunday evening after my vacation. 512-365-9930.
So what's my excuse?
I don't know why you forgot to do it. I have no earthly idea. And if you'd like to email us with your opinion, you can email me at rick@hope-now.com. That's rick@hope-now.com. Or again, you can call us at 365-9930 and let us know what you think. Area code 512-365-9930. Boy, that was the biggest faux pas I've done in a long time. Wayne.
We forgive you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, let us know what you think. And even if you want to talk about your experience and how you made it through recovery from addiction to pornography, we would love to hear from you about that. So, Rick, what was it like for you to recover, and what was the change process like for you?
What do you mean, the change process?
Well, the commitment to change from when you talked about your struggle with pornography years ago. What did it take to change?
Well, I mean, I
to recover, I guess.
I think I was amazingly fortunate because in my situation, ultimately what happened was, I think just kind of God got my attention in a very cool way. And so I ended up turning myself in, which some people may think might have been a little bit crazy, but I was tired of being controlled by this stuff. Mm. And I was definitely controlled by it. And at that point, one of the things I did that was really helpful is, people are going to think this is really crazy now, but I began to share all of my temptations with Stephanie. And because I really believe that temptation doesn't define us, that what defines me is the very life of Christ, that I've had an identity transplant. And if temptation is defined us, as we've said before, then the person with the most temptations would be the vilest person, and that would literally be Christ. Hmm. And I don't think Jesus was vile. And so once I began sharing the temptation, somehow it began to take away the power of the pornography,
right,
for me.
Right.
And I began to get in groups with other men and being very, very honest about the whole issue with pornography. And so that was very, very useful. And actually, we've got our first person calling to weigh in. And this,
yes.
This is Travis. Hey, Travis, welcome tonight.
Thank you.
So,
listen, I was just gonna kind of weigh in on the topic. I was actually sitting here talking with my wife about it, and we kind of came to a little consensus just about, you know, is viewing pornography an affair? And I think in a way, I mean, you can look at it, you know, physically and say, well, no, it's not really an affair, but emotionally, I think even spiritually, you know, we've made vows to each other to be faithful to each other, and you know, to honor and cherish each other, and I think viewing pornography steps outside of those boundaries by a pretty far. I mean, just it's so far away from what you've pledged to do in your marriage, and I don't know. I think it rubs so wrongly against what you have vowed to do for each other that it just seems like it can't be anything other than an affair. You know, maybe not physically, but yeah.
Yeah. So with you and your wife, then she would most definitely view it as you having an affair if you were to start looking at porn on a regular basis. That to her would be outside the bounds of what y'all have defined as monogamy for your relationship.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that she would call it an affair as a quote. I mean, definitely cheating on her in some way. Where, you know, I've told her, you know, I'm here for you. I'm going to be faithful to you, and you know, to be giving my eyes to something else. I think to me that the Bible talks about our eyes so much, and it talks about even Adam and Eve, their eyes being opened when they ate of the fruit, which has some sort of significance to me. I don't know that it ties directly to having an affair. But, you know, the other things that we can do with our eyes are, you know, look up to the heavens or the hills, or look up to God. I mean, there's scriptures about looking to good things for our pleasure, good things like the things that God has given us. Or we can use our eyes to look at something else, and, you know, it says, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge them out, kind of thing. Not that I'm literally going to go do that, but...
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah. there seems to be some sort of significance on what we do with our eyes, and giving them over to pornography and things like that. Just it just seems to go the opposite direction.
Well, thank you for weighing in. I think we've got somebody else on line two here, but thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Travis.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
On what we do with our eyes, and
you might want to turn your radio down there a little bit.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this Wayne?
Yeah.
Hi, Wayne. Thank you for calling tonight.
All
Cool.
And what question do you have for us tonight?
Well, I was just responding to your comment about whether viewing pornography was considered an affair or not.
Good. What's your opinion?
Well, I think it is, and I think it's probably not Webster's Dictionary of an affair, but certainly it's cheating your wife and yourself. More importantly, I think that it objectifies and even makes some of that okay behavior, and it is not okay behavior.
Are you married, Wayne?
I am. I've been married 18 years, and last November, I've called in before, and last November, my wife discovered I've been having a 9-year affair, and I also discovered I was a sexual addict, and since I was probably 12 years old, started watching, looking at magazines and watching pornography, that I have found that it has been, and going to fantasy, not only in a harmful way like with sexual addiction or inappropriate sex, but in a fantasy as well, like you think you're Tarzan, you read books, and you go visit Fantasyland in a healthy way, then you then start watching pornography, and it takes that healthy fantasy away and turns it into a sexual fantasy, and then turns them into objectifying women, sex. You don't really understand that an intimate relationship, and I'm still working on that part. You know, I've only been 7 months sober. I'm going to group, and I'm working on myself, cleaning up my thought life. I'm using Dr. Weiss's snap the rubber band method, cleaning up my thought life, and that's helped a lot.
Well, good.
Good for you, Wayne. That's great.
That is great, Wayne. Thank you for calling
Thanks
in.
Thanks for calling.
That is really good feedback. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Keep up the good
work. Don't tend to come back to one of your seminars.
Good.
We'd love to have you.
November, hopefully.
Okay.
All right.
October.
Good.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, I believe we have Megan on the line here. So, Megan, what's your opinion as to whether or not viewing pornography is an affair?
Well, it's interesting. I am been a member on a message board, and the topic that comes up frequently with wives, and I know I'm kind of presenting the opposite perspective, but one kind of situation that makes me really angry is when you have a couple where the wife is just resigned to the fact that her husband is going to look at that. And they say, well, you know, they're going to do it. I just don't want to know about it. But, you know, I think in that situation, it's still an affair, even if the wife is saying, just don't tell me about it. Because, you know, you've made marriage vows, and each partner in that marriage is, as a Christian, I believe, you know, accountable to the Lord for keeping those. And I absolutely believe that breaks them. Even if your wife or your husband, you know, if it's the wife that's into porn, that if even if they say, I just don't want to know about it, do whatever you want, I think you're still being unfaithful to them.
Thanks, Megan. That's a really good point. I don't know about you, Rick, but I have several couples right now that are describing exactly what you're saying, Megan, where the wife has just resigned herself. This is just part of him, part of who he is and what he's going to do, so I'm just going to look the other way. And they really don't, I don't think, look the other way. They can't look the other way very well. It's still, it's a soul wound or something like that. Do you agree, Rick?
Yeah, I think so. Megan, is that how would you think you would see it? It has got a wound them at one level?
Absolutely. And not only just this emotional effect that it's having on the spouse that's just trying to turn the other way, but just the spiritual implications that it has for the person that's involved in the pornography. You know, I feel like by the wife saying it's, you know, fine, it's okay, you're causing so many problems there by not forcing the other person to deal with the issue.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Megan, very much for calling.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks.
Okay, I believe we've got somebody else on line two here. And who's this?
This is Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Thank you for calling in. I'm fine. So what's your opinion? Do you think that viewing pornography is the same as having an affair?
No, I don't think it's the same as having an affair. But it's that question is almost like asking which is worse, heroin or meth. I think pornography can be just as destructive as an affair can be. In fact, maybe sometimes even more so, because it's more easily accessible and it's more easily hidden.
Right.
Good point.
The metaphor that I get, the thing that I think about when I think about porn is we have a dog. And one of the dog's favorite things to do is to go run into the backyard and find the stinkiest thing he can find and roll around in it.
Dogs like to do that, don't they?
Especially my dog.
Okay, so then he comes in and he's all excited, you know, because he's stinky, and we're all disgusted because he's stinky. You know, and so I think of porn kind of in the same way. It's you know, something nasty in the backyard, you go roll around in it, you come in, you're all excited, but your partner can tell the stink, you know, she knows the stink, so that's how I think of it.
Dang, that's good, Kim.
That's a great illustration. I bet you we use that again.
Okay, well, you have my permission to use that again.
So, Kim, have you ever read Hank the Cow Dog?
Oh, yeah, I love Hank the Cow Dog.
Well, you know, he always rolls around in the Emerald Pond, so that just reminds...
Yeah, taking a bath in the sewer.
Exactly right. Thank you for that analogy. I appreciate your weighing in tonight. Yeah,
thanks,
Kim.
That
is great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sure. Night.
Good night. Okay, I believe we have Tony on line one here.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for calling.
Hey, it's my pleasure. And, you know, when I first heard the question, like any smart man, I said, well, honey, what do you think? And, you know, as I listened to her, she sat there and, you know, having been in an affair myself and having my wife have to go down the road of thinking through that, it was funny. I expected one answer, but she said, I don't think so. And I said, well, I hate to say this, but, you know, if anybody knows what feeling like being in a relationship where the husband has committed an affair, it would be you. And she said, yeah, you're right. I said, I'm right. We're starting off well. And she said, no, I don't think so. And I said, I don't think so either. I think there's, you know, and I respect your definition that says infidelity is keeping secrets from your mate, and I support that to a certain level. But I'd have to say the weight and the pummeling of what a true affair with another person, shall we say, does to the mate, I would find it hard to compare the two in the same dimension.
So in your opinion, the impact that what you did to your wife was so profound because you actually had an affair that pornography would seem to be in somewhat of a lesser category, at least certainly from your wife's perspective.
Absolutely, without question.
Okay. But you would agree then, did you also say, Tony, that infidelity, on the other hand... would be, you would agree with the definition of infidelity or the keeping of secrets?
Well, that's where I feel you have to get into a big Greek lexicon type discussion, because when you use the, and I'm joking obviously, but when you get into this sense of I had an affair, the weight of that to my wife is incredible, to the point where I think that if I were to confess to her, hey, I've been obsessed with pornography, or I've been viewing pornography for 2 years, and I want to confess it to you, I know there would be a far different response and a far different weight and a far different impact in her soul, in her very soul, than it would when I had to confess that I was coming out of a 2-year affair with another person. I think, quite honestly, my wife is not able to be on the phone, but I think if my wife were to be on here, and if I were to have confessed to her, honey, I've had an affair with my computer watching porn for 2 years, I think she would have said, well, we need to get you help, and she probably would have said, well, praise the Lord, it wasn't with another actual human being.
Right.
I can understand that. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Tony.
Thanks for calling,
another
Tony.
Call. I appreciate it very, very much.
It's my pleasure.
Okay. Tell your wife thank you for her weighing in also, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Have a great night, guys.
You too. Bye-bye. So, we've got Mark on line two here.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine. So, what's your opinion on whether or not viewing pornography is actually the same as having an affair?
Well, listening to one of your previous callers, I think it was Kim, I'm kind of thinking along that line that I'm not sure it would be an affair, but I mean, I can think of it being very destructive to the relationship with your spouse, and of course, being a Christian, I mean, it would be just, you know, not trusting God to provide your needs physically, and you just give in to lust, and that just spins off broken relationships right and left. I mean, that's what I would think.
Yeah.
It's good.
Did you ask your wife whether or not, because are you married, Mark?
Yes, I am.
Okay. But how do you think your wife would answer that?
I would think she would feel, I didn't have a chance to ask her that, but I think she would feel, you know, like she wasn't able to, you know, meet my needs, and that what was wrong, and why do I feel the need to go outside the relationship. And I think it would just be a general breaking of trust and really emotionally damaging.
So this
like really bad, really bad.
It'd be really bad. It wouldn't go over too good.
Yeah.
Okay. What about this may sound the word lust?
Yeah.
Do you think that viewing pornography involves lust to some extent?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's really a real selfish act. I mean, getting caught up in that, and you're pretty much just saying, I'm going to get mine, and I really don't care, you know, who I hurt or damage, even myself or God or, you know, my spouse or my kids or whoever else. Because I'm sure it's going to, you know, it's going to result in, you know, just bad things all around. But it's just selfishness.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it is. Because it's really not in her best interest, is it?
I can't see it any way that it would be. I mean, and I just think that would be tremendously hurtful. Because, like Kim was saying, I think the spouse intuitively will know there's something wrong, and the you know, the image of a stinking dog is pretty graphic, and I think that's pretty accurate.
The dog comes in all excited. The
dog comes in to lay down at night. Where you been, you know?
My dog actually did that this afternoon. Stephanie saw me walking away from our dog, and she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, he stinks bad.
He really stinks." Yeah, and I think that stink permeates, you know, and I think it's, you know, I think that the spouse knows intuitively.
Yeah.
And, so I just can't, really selfish, you know, to continue in that. Even though you may be addicted to it, it would be just saying that, you know, you don't meet my needs. I'm going outside to fulfill, you know, my need for intimacy.
Yeah.
Well, in that sense, it may be like an affair in some ways, but.
Yeah. That's great, Mark. Thank you very much for weighing in tonight. I really appreciate it.
Great topic.
Thanks for calling, Mark.
Yeah, I had an email here that somebody wrote in just now, and they said, it's awfully hard for me as a man to be the spiritual leader of my home. Asking my wife to trust my judgment on something, say, a direction we're headed in our life, if I'm actually involved with looking at pornography, I have to ask myself, how could I possibly lead her if I can't keep my own life straight? I can't look at her and honestly tell her this is the way I believe God wants us to go if I haven't been following God. And pornography, in my mind, sure isn't following God. So thank you for your feedback on that. So we appreciate that. Looks like we have Sarah calling to weigh in on line one. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, Miss Sarah. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for joining Affair Recovery Radio this evening.
Sure.
So in your mind, Sarah, is viewing pornography the same as having an affair?
Well, I'm not sure, but I haven't experienced my husband having an actual affair, but I found out a few years ago that my husband had been addicted to pornography pretty much our whole marriage, and it's been 15 years, and I just know what it's done to me emotionally and how it's felt, and I imagine that that's similar to what an affair would feel like.
Do you mind my asking what it's felt like, Sarah?
Well, for quite a few years, I didn't know what the problem was. I just knew there was a problem, and so I kept trying to fix a problem that I didn't know what it was, and I kept thinking it was me somehow, and even after I found out what the problem was, it didn't stop. And it's such a subtle thing that can be going on, you know. And I just totally started shutting down emotionally from my husband, and now he's really been trying hard to give it up, and it's been a couple, you know, it's been a year, and it's hard for me to get those emotions back and that trust, because it's been so many years of the lack of trust. And
so in your mind, it's probably impacted your ability to trust him in the same way it would impact a woman whose husband had a physical affair.
Right. I would think so. I mean, I don't know for sure, but it feels that way. Like, I can't see him the same. I can't trust him. I feel like he's different than the person that I married, that I thought I was marrying.
Wow. Mm. I am so sorry for your pain, Sarah.
Well, thanks.
Well, Sarah, we appreciate you calling and weighing in on that very much.
Well, thanks for the radio show.
Sure.
You got a lot
Keep
of
listening.
Yeah, you got a lot of courage, girl. Hang in there.
All right. Thanks,
All right,
guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. We have Kathy on line two weighing in on the topic. So, Miss Kathy, what do you think? Do you think that viewing pornography is the equivalent to having an affair?
Well, you know, I used to have a real simple answer for this, because when I found out that my husband was involved with pornography, I instantly said yes. But now, listening to your show tonight, I'm second guessing, not completely, but I'm second guessing my definition of an affair, because I think culturally, most people view affairs as with people. And pornography is definitely, in my opinion, infidelity, but I'm not sure if infidelity and having an affair are the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, so I would like to explore that a little bit more, but as far as how it affected our marriage, it was bringing another person in, but then that leads to questions. If people are in fantasy and all that, is that an affair? You have to go down that road. But I would definitely say that it's infidelity, as you have defined it, for sure, and very destructive in a relationship.
Was it pretty wounding to you, Kathy, to find out that he'd been doing that?
Yeah, it was very wounding to me. And I always knew that there was something wrong, and I even asked him multiple times if he had had an affair in the past or if he was currently having an affair, because I was wanting to see what was going on and, hey, let's bring God into this and work this out. But, of course, he denied it. So I was open to that thought, that was what was going on. But it did wound me greatly when I found out that that's what was really going on. And a very interesting turn to that is we often do tend to view pornography as not with a real person, but my heart went out to the girls he was looking at, because they are real people. And they have been really wounded and hurt their past to be in that place. And, you know, my husband was using them. They probably had other men use them, and that's what brought them to the point that they were at. And my husband was one of those. And that really made me sad. So I was sad on a lot of different levels, not only the effect it had on our marriage and realizing that I was not the girl that he was, you know, enamored by, but it was all these fantasy girls, but it also made me sad that my husband was one of those men that could use others, like you had mentioned earlier, objectify.
So are you still together with your husband, Kathy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're together. We've been through a lot of recovery, a lot of counseling, and a lot of really good friends, and really have an open, honest relationship. And he has really good buddies and stuff that I have full access to at any time. And we're doing pretty good. We've even had 3 kids since, and it's we're doing well. We are. It's brought us to a new place in our relationship and with God too.
Yeah, that's really good news.
That's great.
Yeah.
Would it be different to you, Kathy? Can I ask you one more question here?
Yeah, sure.
Would it be different to you if he'd been going to topless clubs, or if he had had an internet type relationship with someone?
Like a chat room?
Like a chat room thing.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about that when I was listening to everybody else. It would be different, and not because, how would I word this? The way I always viewed it, when I started asking him, when I found out he was into pornography, I had a list of questions, of course. And I wanted to know, had he gone to strip clubs? And none of these things had he ever done. He has only viewed pornography. He never had any, you know, one-to-one relationships, nothing. And I asked about strip clubs, real people, all this kind of stuff. And the way I viewed it was, it's a boundary issue. And I feel like the more boundaries people let go, the more dangerous it becomes, and just the more, I don't know, hurtful in a different way it becomes. So, yeah, it would have bothered me more, because we would have brought in a real person. And to be honest with you, I found out that he had one inappropriate conversation in his whole addictive cycle, only one, with some girl at work. I mean, it was nothing that went on. It was basically one conversation. And I'll tell you what, that has hurt me more than him thinking about all those hours that he viewed pornography, was that one 30-second conversation he had with another woman. So I would have to say that it would have been a lot more damaging if there would have been more people brought into it.
Yeah, you know, I sometimes think that, and I don't know what, if you'd agree with this, that it's relative, however, in the sense that your pain is your pain at the moment you find out, and new revelations create a different type of pain, so your pain begins all over again.
That's right.
So I certainly don't want to, for those who have never had the 30-second conversation, that I don't want to minimize their pain, because I know it's been really painful for a lot of people. A lot of people who found their mate looking at porn. So.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, it's very. I don't want to diminish that at all. I'm just saying, as the guys keep going to that new level, there's just so much more associated with it. Like the girl at his work. Well, now I know other people knew about that, so there's more just involved with it, and it's not secret anymore. It's not confined into a room and a computer anymore. There's just more and more waves of effect for more people, and socially and all that kind of stuff. It just hurt at a whole different level. But, I mean, I am not going to undermine at all the fact that the viewing pornography is definitely infidelity and definitely very destructive. And to me, I see it just as a path to everything else that's going on with, you know, strip clubs and full-fledged affairs and all that kind of stuff.
Well, Kathy, you've been marvelous. Thank you very much for checking in tonight.
Okay, well, thanks, Rick and Wayne. Good talking to you.
Thanks,
okay.
Kathy.
Bye.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Okay. I've got another email that just came in here. And this person said, I'm sure there are women listening to this thinking that it's always men looking at pornography. But, oh, that's so bad of him. But I have to add that there's a lot of time when women look for their intimacy in romance novels, magazines like Redbook, Cosmopolitan, or even romance movies. Do you think these women's actions could also then be considered an affair? Okay, that would get exciting if we go into that one.
That may be another show.
Yeah, I mean, does it create dissatisfaction ultimately in the marital relationship if you begin kind of longing for something that your mate is not?
Hmm.
I guess we need to have Leslie here for that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think, too, the other caller, I think it was Megan that mentioned something about women looking at porn and growing, you and I know, growing numbers of women are struggling with the same thing.
Right. And the problem with women who get addicted to porn, and a lot of times their husbands don't know about this either. I mean, it's not, you would think that that wouldn't be the case, but it is the case because we see it all the time. And the shame, again, for the women, I think sometimes is even worse.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think in our culture we sit there and go, well, that's just men. Men do that sort of thing. But if a woman does that sort of thing, that would be really bad. And the problem with the addiction to porn, as I experienced, was it consumed more and more and more of my time until it really began to interfere with my ability just to function with life.
Mm-hmm. To do your chores around the house, too.
To do my chores around the house. Don't even go there. That would be something else. Okay, I believe we have another caller. We have Kevin on line one. So, Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey,
thanks
Kevin.
For calling in.
Well, you're welcome.
So, what's your opinion? Do you think viewing porn is the equivalent to having an affair?
Equivalent to having an affair. Well, I was looking up the definition of an affair, and it says something about a romantic or sexual relationship, sometimes one of brief duration between two people who are not married. So, it's certainly sexual, and it just doesn't usually involve one other person, but usually it can be thousands of other people. So, and it's certainly outside of my marriage. So I'd say it has to be an affair.
Are you saying that you've looked at porn before?
I've just heard about that. No, yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. Join the club, bro.
Yeah. So, but I have a question, too. You know, is it impossible to have an affair in lots of other activities, whether it's, and I'm not going to justify by any means pornography, but whether it's in hyperactivity or eating or whatever, that isn't that, but I guess that's not true. An affair is, if it's defined romantic or sexual, then that wouldn't be the case. Probably a bad question.
Well, no, I think when you get to infidelity, where we say infidelity is the keeping of secrets, most definitely there are ways of being unfaithful in a marital relationship that are non-sexual. I think when we talk about affairs, you're talking more about something sexual in nature. I think your definition, you know, what you looked up would kind of support that. But I do agree that there's certainly ways that we can be unfaithful that are certainly not sexual. I mean, money laundering, I think, is a great way that, you know, people will hide, maybe couples, one member of a couple will hide money because they know their mate's not going to be happy if they find out how they spent the money. And I think that's has an element of unfaithfulness to it because, you know, it's you're leaving your mate in the dark and they would probably want to know at that point.
Hmm. But obviously the biggest part of the, at least for me, the pornography thing is the deep, deep shame that comes with that, which just causes more separation and I think solitude. And obviously that's the opposite of what I'm trying to achieve with my bride.
Right. Well, did you hear the caller a while ago that talked about the dog rolling around in the stink?
Mm-hmm.
Would you, as somebody who's looked at porn before, would you say that it leaves you excited, and is that the way it's impacted you when you would come back into your relationship after viewing porn? Or what was the impact of porn on you, Kevin?
Oh, well, I didn't connect with that analogy so much, and because, yeah, maybe it was fun rolling around out there for the dog, but certainly I wasn't coming back in the house proud about that. And I felt, I knew how bad and pitiful that was. So whereas I think of a dog, he's pretty excited about his new situation, you know, and he comes in and he's an offense to everybody. But, you know, it's so fleeting, that moment of rolling around, and then it's just disgust. So, anyway, I didn't completely connect with that.
Okay, no, that's a really good point, because I think different people look at it very different ways.
And I don't see anybody being real proud of that. I don't think. Maybe there is somebody proud of it. Maybe that's the way they've justified their behavior, but I think it's pretty unusual, I would think, to be proud of, oh, I'm out there rolling around in this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly.
But even either way around it, as much as I'm going to try to wash and clean and do whatever I need to do to get rid of it, you can't get rid of it. And I know that from experience, too. My wife would pick up that scent, you know, and it just creates, again, more separation. It's a bad thing.
Yeah, it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Am I still on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just asking a question for everyone.
This is our producer, Ronnie.
Oh.
Would it be worse, I guess, the keeping of secrets, or if you were upfront with your wife and said, you know, this is what I would like to do, and you discussed it and you guys agreed not to do it, it would be a whole different story.
Oh, so you're saying if Kevin were, so this is open to me and Wayne too, right? So if Kevin had actually talked with his wife about viewing the pornography and what he was looking at the pornography, that would be a difference, because it wouldn't be secret at that point.
Right. That makes a big difference, I think, to the women.
I would comment on that, because some women, I think when their husbands ask them to view porn, actually are quite insulted. And because they're very, to them, that just doesn't feel right. And if that's something their husband is really pressing for, ultimately it ends up, again, creating another problem in the relationship. I mean, what do you think, Kevin? If you'd ask your wife to view porn with you, do you think that would have worked well?
Not at all. No, it was, I knew it was wrong. And I certainly know her that it would be extremely horrible, and in fact that's the very reason I didn't want to bring it to her. It was just a horrible thing, and there's never in my mind that I knew that it was acceptable, you know, in our marriage.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling, Kevin. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Well, you're welcome.
Keep listening to our show.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
We are beginning to run out of time here, and there's just a couple of things I wanted to say. We didn't get to cover all the material, but thank you for all you guys that have called in. It's really been a good show tonight. We appreciate you weighing in on this, and I just think it makes it a lot more relevant when people will call and just kind of talk about their situations. We do have an EMS weekend. One of our EMS seminars coming up this next weekend. So if you know somebody, or if you yourselves are actually at a point of crisis, we still have a few openings for that weekend, and we would love to have you join
us. So if they've
never
listened before, Rick, what is EMS weekend?
Ah, the Emergency Marital Seminar. Thank you, Wayne. The Emergency Marital, and do not call 365-9930 to get that, since we're going off the air here. You could call us, though, at 512-346-9299. That's 512-346-9299. Or you can visit our website at affairrecovery.com, and we'll have information for the Emergency Marital Seminar. And it's a three-day intensive seminar really intended to stabilize a marriage after the revelation of an affair, or even if you've had trouble getting beyond an affair 15 years later. That seminar is going to be very, very useful at helping you begin to heal in your relationship and get beyond the affair and begin to get a life again, because that's really what we would like to do at the Affair Recovery Center here is to help you heal and begin to go on and enjoy what God has set before you. Anything you want to add about the EMS weekends?
It's just a great weekend. It puts couples every couple's different, but it puts you 3 or 4 or 5 months down the road.
Oh, yeah. It is a catapulting into the future, which is really good, because there's hope. And I think
lots of hope.
When couples leave, we do surveys, and consistently across the board, people come out of there finally having hope that and knowing that somehow their marriage is going to be healed. And that's good news.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you and I are tooting our own horn, but we see couples that come in that are just miserable and don't want to be there. And by Friday afternoon, and not even by Saturday evening, they are like, beginning to see the hope that we know is out there.
Well, and more than that, we're not tooting our horn. I would say that that's really one of God's miracles.
It's God.
It tells me it's not me and Wayne.
Well, you and I know that, but I just didn't want everybody else to think, well, wow.
Yeah, God does a cool thing on these weekends. An additional thing, we are really excited because we now have our online Affair Recovery course available. And if you're interested in doing an online course, that is now going to be available at affairrecovery.com. And we'll have to spend a whole night talking about how the online course works. That'd probably be a good topic.
Because I think you're going to have to teach me. I don't know how to do it yet.
Yeah, well, but it actually involves working with a group. And who knows, you may have somebody from Des Moines and somebody from Fresno all in the same group. But the cool thing about the groups is they're totally anonymous. So nobody will know who you are in terms of your identification. So it really creates an element of safety. In addition, we now at our website at affairrecovery.com have our mentorship network up. So if you would like somebody who is similar to who you are, who's gone through the same thing, you'd like to communicate with them again anonymously, those products are available at affairrecovery.com. And the good news is right now the first 30 days is free. And if you'd just like to have somebody to communicate with, please come join us. We would love to be able to serve you and just give you hope. And our couples would love to share with you how God was able to get them through their circumstances, how they found healing in what seemed to be an absolutely impossible situation. Anything you want to add as we begin closing out? You said you would give your opinion on whether or not viewing pornography is an affair.
Yeah, I tend to agree that it is. Basically because of the definitions, I think the caller Kevin listed and a couple others. I think we could split hairs maybe about infidelity and affairs, and I don't want to do that, but it sure does feel like an affair to me. And I know it does to many of the clients that I work with.
Right. When I was looking at the 200,000 hits on Google, one of the things it talked about was when Jesus was teaching about lust, and I intentionally didn't use the word adultery because sometimes in the term adultery, people actually consider intercourse as being a part of that one, so I left that one out. But in your heart, I certainly think it's an issue. Mm-hmm. So it's been a fun night talking about this. I really enjoyed
all the callers,
guys. Thank you so much for lighting up the switchboard tonight and giving us your opinions. And again, come join us at affairrecovery.com if you have any questions. And if you'd like to listen to this broadcast, you can come back and listen again. We'll have it posted by tomorrow. So you guys have a good night. God bless you.
Thanks.